17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And they press it beyond scriptural limitations, and they say, you see there wasn't any grace until Jesus came. And how do I know that's a wrong interpretation? What is it that safeguards me from making that bad decision? When I look at the scripture and I see that Noah found grace in the sight of God, I see a lot of people. Did Adam and Eve find grace with God? They did. Did Cain find grace with God? He took his brother's blood, and God could have killed him, but he had mercy on him. And again, Steve thinks that's a dispensational distinction, and he taught that in his Bible class, and that's not true. It's not true at all. God was merciful to David. David had Uriah killed. Could God have killed David under the law and been just? He could have, but he gave David mercy. No contradiction. My Bible says something about when a man looks on a woman and lusts after her, he commits a fornication and adultery. And what's the penalty for adultery? So the times that I've lusted after a woman, why didn't God kill me? Because he gave me mercy. And he does the same to you every time you sin and you commit a capital punishment crime. He doesn't kill you. So that's a dispensational distinction that he's not... It's ridiculous. It's a flippant way to handle the Word of God, beloved, and it's very dangerous. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now I want you to drop down, if you would, please, to Dr. Schofield's note. Grace summary. Grace is the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men, not by the works of righteousness which we have done. Titus 3, 4, and 5. It is therefore consistently set in contrast to law. I disagree. When David found forgiveness under the law, that was grace, and that was merciful, and there was no contradiction. Notice now he says, it is therefore consistently set in contrast to law, under which God demands righteousness from man, as under grace he gives righteousness to man. Law is connected with Moses and works. Grace with Christ and faith. And I disagree with that note. Because again, we've already said that Adam and Eve had faith. Their son, Abel, was killed. Hebrews 11 says that by his faith he gave a sacrifice. He didn't gain righteousness by that sacrifice, but by his faith he demonstrated that he had been set apart, that he had been declared righteous. Same thing, the whole chapter, Hebrews 11. Now, drop down, if you would, to the second note. As a dispensation, grace begins with the death and resurrection of Christ. I want you to fix that in your mind, because we hope to close with Romans 7 today, and that'll be an important note. As a dispensation, grace begins, and if you don't have a Schofield, just listen. It's easy to pick up. As a dispensation, grace begins with the death and resurrection of Christ, Romans 3, Romans 4. The point of testing, now listen, the point of testing is no longer legal obedience as the condition of salvation. What is that? That's works. What Dr. Schofield is saying is in the Old Testament, you had to work in order to be saved. That's a pretty serious error, beloved. Notice he says, the condition, legal obedience is no longer the condition of salvation, but acceptance or rejection of Christ. That's always been the condition. Was for Adam and Eve? Abraham, Sarah, David, anybody that gets into heaven. Christ is the way, not a way. Not the New Testament way. He is the way. That's right.
I think of seems to be dealing with this error at the Church of Rome, because he addresses that in, I think, chapter 4, where he uses Abraham, of course, the father of the Jewish nation, physically, and he mentions how it was by grace through faith. And then he uses David, the patriarch, I think, the king, and he uses how David quotes David in one psalm, saying that blessed is a man that's imputed, I think, if I didn't think that phrase there, but it's a part of works.
Amen.
So just consistency.
Yeah, it's always anybody that gets to heaven doesn't get there by keeping the law. The law doesn't justify anybody. And, of course, Dr. Scofield knows that. But you say, maybe you say, well, Pastor, maybe this is just semantics. Maybe you're being a little too hard on Dr. Scofield. I'll give you several other illustrations of his weakness. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Acts. I've already shown you in Matthew 6 where he says the Lord's Prayer is legal ground. That's one manifestation of his weakness. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. And I'll show you another. I'll show you a couple in Acts, in fact. Acts chapter 18. And let's start with verse 18. And before we read the passage, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, notice the note above verse 18. Dr. Scofield writes, the author of Romans 6:14, 2 Corinthians 3, and Galatians 3 takes a Jewish vow. And that should be a little red light for you, that what he's saying is what Paul does is sinful, is wrong, is contrary. He wrote so-and-so, and now he's acting in a contrary fashion. I'll show you another note that's a little more blatant. A little louder signal in just a moment from Acts 21. Let's look at the passage. Acts 18, verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, a blessed team, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Now, I'm going to anticipate, turn with me if you would please to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to, before we get to more of Scofield's error, I want you to see what Paul was doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First of all, was he a Jew or a Gentile? The Apostle Paul. He was a Jew. Had the temple, had Titus destroyed the temple yet to show that the 40 years of testing was over? For the Jewish nation, when Paul takes this vow? No. So he's a Jew, so why wouldn't he practice what God had laid down in the law? It was still operative. Let's zero in on it in 1 Corinthians, if you have chapter 9. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, willing service, free will service, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, the Gentiles, as without law, being... Now, don't lose the parenthesis. Being not without law to God. The antinomians, those that say that the Kevin Jeffries, and those that say that the law has nothing to say. Newell, if you have his commentary on Romans, you'll find it's an excellent commentary, but he makes this mistake. Newell says the law has nothing to say to believers today. Now, how do we know that's not true? Because we see the Apostle Paul saying, don't you hear the law? Romans chapter 13, he lists the latter portion of the Decalogue. He uses the law. The clearest illustration I can give you, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is the law that has promise. And if you want long life, obey it. Why obey a law that's not speaking? It makes no sense at all. In fact, it's not scriptural. And again, if you're not using the law, don't have any other gods before me, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal, don't lust, then what are you using? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What are you using to guide and direct your path if you're not using the Word of God? You're using what some man teaches or what you feel. It's against the Scripture. The parenthesis, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Pastor, didn't you start last week by showing us Romans chapter 6 where it says we're not under law, but we're under grace? Then that looks like a contradiction. Here it says here, but I am under the law to Christ. No contradiction, beloved. You have to put it in its right context. You're not under the condemnation of the law anymore. Why? Because Christ took that judgment. He judged your sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. All of our sins, past, present, and future, are already paid for. That's called the gospel. That's good news. So now I'm free to live and do whatever I want. No. Now I'm free to do what I ought. I couldn't before I had the Holy Spirit. But now I can obey the law, the Word of God that the Holy Spirit inspired through His enablement by His grace. Not being without law, but under the law to Christ. Still not right to have any other gods before Him. Still not right to steal. Still not right to lust or not to violate the Sabbath principle. Back to Acts. So Dr. Scofield finds a problem and impugns the character of the Apostle Paul with his note. I said I'd give you one that's a little more direct. Turn, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 21. And we're going to do this one in reverse from the last order. We're going to go ahead and read the passage and see what happens, and then we're going to see what Dr. Scofield thinks. Acts chapter 21, and let's start with verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Scofield's note, Paul takes a Jewish vow involving a Jewish sacrifice. That's exactly what he's going to do. Verse 18, in the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by His ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe. And they are all zealous of the law. Now remember, which side of the cross are we on? We're before the cross. The temple hasn't been destroyed. The 40-year period hasn't even started yet. And so they're obeying the law, and they should. Now, many that were obeying the law were hypocrites because they didn't really believe it. They were kind of, well, I got to go to church today, that kind of a deal. That doesn't count with God. There's a good zeal and there's a fleshly zeal. One's of God and one's of the flesh. They are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Is that what Paul taught? He did not. And he's going to prove it. He's going to prove it by submitting to the law in this passage. And Dr. Scofield is going to throw stones at him because he did it. No. What Paul said is, as far as what they misinterpreted as forsaking Moses, was you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the law in order to be saved. He was exposing their false interpretation of the law. That's what he was doing. And again, beloved, I think this would answer many of the problems of these that have a problem with law and grace. I want you to focus on this for a moment with me. They see what the Judaizers, what the legalists were doing. You have to keep the law to be saved. And they won't have any part of that, and neither should we. We don't. But now they over-respond. They see the error, and they go too far. And so they say, well, those guys are misusing the law, so we won't use it at all. And two wrongs don't make a right. And I think many of these men, and I've talked to a bunch of them, I've got a good fundamentalist friend that doesn't believe the law has anything to say today. And I'm trying to help him. The Lord has opened the door, and I'm trying to minister to this fundamental pastor that pastors a large fundamental church. That what he's doing, he doesn't have to, in his attempt to lift up grace, he doesn't have to put down law. Because they work together, hand in hand. The law, as a schoolmaster, to say, thou shalt not, don't do this. You're a sinner, you need to be saved, and point you to the Savior. And we'll see that in Romans 7, if I hurry a little bit. We're in, I think we left off verse 21. Verse 22. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men who have a vow on them. Take them, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But that thou thyself also walkest orderly. And the last four words of the verse, please. We saw in Romans, remember, last week, Romans chapter 8, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled not by us, but in us. If you're obeying the law, there's only one way you can do it, and that's through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, and that He's manifesting that you're one of His children. Pastor has been emphasizing and reemphasizing and emphasizing again in 1 John in his study the distinction that John is making between two families, the family of God and the family of the devil. And how do you know the difference? How do you know which one you're in? If you're keeping the law, if you're doing what's right, if you're living in a Spirit-filled way, it's because you have the Spirit on a way to do it. 25. As touching the Gentiles who believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. You'll read that in Acts chapter 15. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now, I need the, if you have a Scofield reference, do we have any Scofield reference Bibles here today? Okay, I see one, two, three. What letter do you have, Donnie, before the word Paul, the second word of verse 26? What little letter? Yes.
The letter N.
The letter N. And now, if you look in the center reference, what's the first word of his note on letter N? The first word of letter N's note.
Contra.
Contra. Quick little grammar lesson or definition, English lesson. What does contra mean? Don, what's contra mean? Against. Against. And now he says, Acts 21, Galatians 2, Romans 3, and he lists a dozen or more, two dozen verses. I had hoped maybe to go through some of these verses. Let's do one or two. Let's see. He says Romans 3:9. Okay, let's turn to Romans 3:9. Now remember, Romans 3:9 is supposed to contradict what we just read in Acts. Romans 3, verse 9, says, "What then? Are we better than they? Are Jews better than Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." I need to know how that contradicts what Paul did in Acts. It doesn't.
He has a group of verses there. Romans 3:9, 3:10, 3:19, 3:20, 3:28.
Okay. Let's look at more then. We read 3:9. Let's look at 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And how does that contradict what Paul did in Acts? It doesn't. Okay. All right. 9 and 10. 19 and 20. 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." And again, I want you to kind of just interject in your mind, under the condemnation of the law. We've already seen in 1 Corinthians 9 that to be under the law in Christ is no problem. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." How does that contradict Acts 21? You see, you need to be careful, beloved, and I've been in several conflicts in 40 years of ministry. And sometimes those that assert claims against you will make a statement, "God is good." And so that proves my point. In other words, they'll bring up a truth that doesn't apply. Let me give you three quack doctors that were very good at this. Three friends of Job. Did their advice enter into Holy Writ? Was their advice truth? It was. It just didn't apply to Job. You can't take a truth and lift it out of context, and that's exactly what Dr. Schofield is doing, in my humble opinion. He's taking things that are true and he's throwing them against the Apostle Paul. And believe me, beloved, that's a very serious crime, to accuse somebody of something that of which they're not guilty. Let's see, I think there were one or two more. We read 9 and 10 and 19 and 20. How about 28? We didn't read 20? Okay, let's do that. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Was Paul keeping the law? Was he taking that vow? Did he shorn his head in order to be saved? If he did, then Dr. Schofield is right on the money. But if Paul did it as a matter of testimony to prove that the other people were wrong in their evaluation of law and grace, and there was nothing sinful about obeying the Word of God, which there isn't, then it's Dr. Schofield that's off base. Let me ask you to turn to Romans chapter 7. What I had hoped to show you, and I don't have the time, was I wanted to show you the last two dozen or last dozen verses, verses 15 through 25, the last 10 verses of Romans 7. And you'll find the word law mentioned several times. For instance, verse 21 says, I find then not the Ten Commandments, but I find a ruling principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God." Okay, that could be the Ten Commandments. You know, the term law of God also sometimes refers to the Word of God. "After the inward man," and people say, "Well, there he is, he was saved, he had two natures." Well, I don't believe so, because I think inward man is describing the conscience. You'll find that in Romans chapter 2. I think what Paul is doing in Romans 7, I want you to come back now, if you would please, to some of the earlier verses. Come back to We'll take a chance on maybe 6 and 7. We'll start there. What Paul is doing as a saved man, he's giving testimony about how he got saved. He's sharing his testimony. Let's start with verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law... And you say, you mean the law work has something to do with working sin? I've shared the illustration before you of a wet paint sign. It says, do not touch wet paint. And the sign makes you want... You wouldn't touch that piano or that bench, but you do because there's a sign there. That's one of the clearest illustrations that helped me to understand the motions of sin by the law. Which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The law revealed to us that we were sinners, that we were lost sinners. We're going to see a personal illustration of that. Look, if you would, please, at verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, that's what we just read, motions of sin, same thing we read in verse 5, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. There's a 50-cent word for you. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. I thought I was living. I thought I was serving God. I was killing all these Christians and martyring all these people, thinking I was doing God's work. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I realized I was dead. Go back and pick up verse 7 now, if you would, please. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Let's make sure we understand the chronological order of things here. When's he talking about? Is he talking about before the cross or after the cross? When was Paul saved? When was Paul persecuting Christians? Before the cross or after the cross? Maybe both, but definitely after. And so, supposedly now, according to Dr. Scofield and according to me and many others, the church age was ushered in at the cross. The church didn't begin until 50 days later. So we're after the cross, and what's the law doing? Is the law still working, according to the Apostle Paul? Yes. He said, I didn't know I was dead. I thought I was alive. I didn't know I was dead, except I was convicted by the law. Thou shalt not lust. Thou shalt not covet. And that's what I was doing. I thought the law wasn't talking to anybody after the cross. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. It talks to unbelievers, but it doesn't talk to believers. Where do you get that? Can you show me a verse that says that? That the law is only for unbelievers, it's not for believers? I can't find one, because the law says, thou shalt not covet. It's talking to me as well as to the guy that's outside of Christ, isn't it? The law is talking. Who's listening? Who's listening? The law was talking. It was used to bring Paul to Christ, Saul, to become Paul, after the cross. You be careful of those that want to, for whatever reason, put down the law. What they're doing is they're being disrespectful of the Word of God. And may the Lord have mercy on their souls. Father, we're thankful for this blessed book. We want to rightly divide it. We certainly don't want to cut the throats of lambs and bulls and goats and sprinkle the people today. We want to understand the threefold classification of the law, the moral law, the civil and the ceremonial law. And the civil hasn't been in effect since it had been a theocracy and since Nebuchadnezzar. The ceremonial law has been set aside. But the moral law, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, is still valid today. And so are the other commandments and the moral commandments. And they represent the holy character of yourself. And we want to represent that to a lost and dying world. And Lord, please speak to our brethren that are doing disservice to your word by telling others that the law has nothing to say to you today. It's antinomianism, it's sin, and it's serious sin. And we see that it's not just lay persons, but Dr. Scofield and others can contribute to this anti-biblical premise. Help us, Lord, to do right. We ask that you bless the remainder of our time together now as we come to worship in the morning service. Help me to speak your word and speak to hearts to accomplish your will in each of our lives. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.